This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9, a show bringing you the day's news from an LGBTI perspective. If you've been on Facebook today, you might have noticed people declaring their allegiance to either Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Slytherin or Gryffindor. They're the houses at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, the imaginary school in the Harry Potter series of books. Harry Potter fans are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the release of the first Harry Potter book, which was called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. The book would go on to become the first of a multi-billion dollar book, film and theatre global empire. The Harry Potter series has inspired a devoted legion of fans, especially LGBTI fans, who love the boy wizard who would go on to save the world from the evil Voldemort. The Informer talks to two Harry Potter fans about what the books mean to them and queer people. Liam Esler is the GX Australia game developer, and Jemima Skelly is a Sydney-based writer and Harry Potter super mega fan who has gone to some extreme lengths in her love for Harry Potter.
I was actually living in New York when the last film came out, so a bunch of friends and I, we kind of went to the premiere. We were there the night before. We camped on the side of the road. Probably we were there for about 20 hours lining up to be at the front so that we could see the stars walk down the red carpet. And that was pretty exciting. So we saw, first of all, Tom Felton came past and he signed my book. Wow. And then also Ron, what's his name? Rupert Grint. We saw Emma Watson and then a few of the other cast members. I got to see J.K. Rowling, didn't get to talk to her or anything, but I saw her and that was enough for me. I nearly cried.
Both Esler and Skelly believe Harry Potter was formative in their lives and they're not sure they'd be the same people without
it. I love the idea of, you know, sort of waking up one morning and finding out that you're special and you get to go off to this awesome place and make amazing friends. At the time, I was, you know, struggling in school and being a gay kid growing up in a country town, didn't really know anyone else who was like me. And, you know, I struggled with feelings of loneliness and isolation. And so the idea that one day I could wake up and my queerness would be like this awesome thing and I'd have all these friends was really appealing at the time. Plus, J.K. Rowling stories are amazing and hilarious. So it was a lot of fun as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly think I'd be a completely different person if the books hadn't had such an impact on my life. It's taught me to be kind, I guess. It's taught me the importance of love and the importance of friendship and the importance of just being yourself, really.
LGBTI fans are some of the biggest consumers of Harry Potter. They were really excited when author J.K. Rowling even revealed Hogwarts principal Albus Dumbledore was gay. Esler and Skelly explain why Harry Potter is so important to LGBTI people.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, in the books there aren't really any out gay characters. Obviously Dumbledore's gay, but it's not revealed. It's not revealed in the books at all. It wasn't until afterwards that J.K. Rowling confirmed that. But I think it's just the message that the books kind of send to the reader, which is that everyone has a right to always feel included, no matter where they're from, no matter their background, no matter what they like doing, no matter what, everyone has their own place. And I feel like, for me, that's the message that I took away from the books. And that's, you know, the message that I carry on in my life.
For me, I think that it was the fact that the idea of sort of wizards and muggles kind of was an allusion to queerness and heteronormativity. And although I didn't really understand it at the time, you know, there was a link that I was making between those two things. And I think that a lot of other people sort of felt the same way. Like, a lot of people were isolated or felt really different to other people. They were, you know, a different group and weren't accepted in the rest of the world. And so the idea of Hogwarts is a bit of an escape from, you know, that idea of heteronormativity and normality, somewhere where you can be accepted for who you are and go and, you know, explore your identity and these amazing powers that you have. And I think that that's very appealing. Plus, for me, I mean, the Harry Potter and Draco Malfoy fanfic was really just a draw, so...
Today's anniversary marks 20 years since the Philosopher's Stone was released. Ezra and Skelly reveal their favourite moments from the Philosopher's Stone.
I think it was one of the Philosopher's Stone was one of the first times that I'd seen a female character in a book sort of take on such a major role in that way.
Like Hermione?
So my favourite scene. Yeah, Hermione. So my favourite scene was right at the end of the book when Hermione basically saves everyone's ass. And she's this incredible, kick-ass, nerdy girl who saves the day through her wits. And that was something that I hadn't really encountered before. And I really loved that. That was really cool.
That's a hard one. Probably my favourite moment is when Harry first enters Diagon Alley. It's almost his first encounter with the magical world, and it's also ours as the reader's first encounter with it as well. And, you know, he walks down that street and it's described so well. It's so visceral. It's like there are sounds and like smells and things he sees, and it's just like a really great portal into the magical world for the reader.
And the all-important question, to which house do they belong?
The house that I'm in would definitely be Slytherin.
not a lot of people can come to terms with the fact that they are Slytherins. For, you know, the uninitiated, that's the house that Lord Voldemort came from. But, you know, there's certain, I guess, positive characteristics about being a Slytherin. Why are you an out there proud Slytherin?
Because I think that, you know, as much as the Slytherin house is about, you know, evilness and, or it's portrayed that way in the books, like, there's this sense that Slytherins are very intelligent and smart. They are, but in a very, very different way from Ravenclaw's, which is the traditional smart house. They're very, very loyal to their friends, and they value friendships incredibly highly, almost over everything else. And they're very ambitious. They have big plans. They like to strategize and spend a lot of time, you know, devising strategies to get what they want. And that sort of hits home for me in all of those cases.
I'm a Ravenclaw through and through. I've thought it from the beginning. I've done every test under the sun.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.